Begin the current daf, starts by becoming a daf nun vav. Begin at the bottom of the daf nun hema base, 5 lines up from the bottom of the yamun, where the Gemara continues a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, we begin on the previous daf, the new parak, the 6th parak, parak hakainis, and the basic halacha, the Mishnah was told about the obligation of someone who has a shor to do shmirah, to safeguard his animal that it doesn't damage. Now, the Mishnah said, if he does a shmirah karo, so then he's going to be put, he's going to be exempt. If he doesn't do a shmir kuro, not an appropriate safeguarding, doesn't lock it in its pen appropriately, then he's going to be liable. Now the Mishnah said, let's say if the animal gets breached in some other way beyond his control, let's say at nighttime or bandits break it open, and then it goes out and damages, then he's going to be exempt. So related to this halacha about other people breaking open the wall of his barn, of his pen, that the Gemara continues in a related discussion. Tanya learned the Braisa. Amr Yeshua. It says, Arba Dvarim, there are 4 things, Ha'isa Isin, that if somebody does them, Patam Adini Adam, he's going to be exempt from law of the courts on from humans. In other words, because he holds this Tana, that Grama Bin Izakin are Patam, if someone just causes something indirectly to happen of damages, he's going to be exempt. So in courts, he's going to be exempt. But V'chai B'din Nishman, but in the hands of heaven, regarding the responsibility, the liability he has, heaven will hold him responsible for that. V'eluhin, and these are the 4 things. First one being related to the halacha of our Mishnah. Ha'payritz geder b'fnei behemes chaveiro. If someone breaches the wall in front of his friend's animal, now, although in the halacha of the Mishnah we were talking about, and then the animal goes out and causes damage, then the owner is going to be exempt. Here the focus of the halacha is, if let's say now that he breaks open the wall, and now the animal runs out and flees, so regarding that liability that he caused the owner to lose his animal, that the guy who broke the wall, it's only a causation. It's indirect cause. Okay, now there's no more wall. Now the animal can run out and escape. But he didn't himself physically go out and take out the animal, so it's a grama. So regarding Dini Adam, he's going to be exempt. But Dini Shemayim, since ultimately, yes, the animal's for sure going to run out. If you're going to break the wall, he's going to be chayv at the hands of heaven. Second item, if someone takes the standing grain of his friend and bends it over towards the direction of where there's a fire, so that when the fire comes in that direction, it should burn up that guy's grain. So he's not holding on to it, but he bent it in that direction. Again, a grama, hence chay b'dinei shemayim, but pat b'dinei adam. A third one is v'asicher edi sheker lehayit, if he hires false witnesses to say false testimony. So again, it's not him that's causing it, but he's a cause. And or if he knows testimony for his friend that could help him out in his court case, but he doesn't testify, again, he's indirectly causing a loss for his friend. Therefore, again, adam. Now the Gemara explains these 4 halachas. The first item mentioned in the Braisa was, if someone breaches the wall in front of his friend's animal, he's pata b'dini adam, chay b'dini nishamayim. Ask the Gemara, hey chedami, what's the case talking about? If we're talking about a strong wall, well then b'dini adam namin chayv, then actually, in regards to the wall itself, there should be a liability in court, at least regarding the wall, because daddy physically broke a healthy, strong wall. And that wall, he caused a loss for his friend. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously regarding the animal, we're not talking about that there should be a liability, because that's related to halacha of our Mishnah, where pertsu listim, that if bandits broke open the wall, they're putter, they're exempt from what's going to happen with the animal to the animal, because that's a grama. But in regards to the wall itself, that is a direct damage. That should be chay b'din adam. So Ella rather explains the Gemara as we continue to talk about Nidvav Manalev, must be talking about b'kaisel ru'ua, a shaky wall, where he didn't cause a loss to the wall, because anyways it had to be demolished. So regarding that, he's exempt, and moreover, he's exempt regarding the animal, because that is just a grama. Amamar. The master said the next item in the Braisa. If someone bends the standing grain of his friend towards the direction of where the fire is coming, and then he gets burnt in the fire. So he's part of the Dini Adam, Chai B'din Nishman. Ask the Gemara, hey Chedam, what's the case talking about? Elim Adematile, if it's talking about that he turned it, he bent it, when the fire was coming over there, beruach mitsuya, with a common wind. In other words, it was expected that the fire is going to come that direction. If that's the case, then he literally went, and when he's bending it, he burnt it with his own hands. Because who cares if he brings the fire to the standing grain or the standing grain to the fire? But then the adam namanichad, then he should be liable even at the hands of the courts, because he literally is burning the fire. When he bends it, It's the same thing as if someone sends a fire to the standing grain, we for sure you chayiv. Same thing as when you push the grain towards the fire. Ella explains the Gemara, Dematya Baruch She'ena Mitzuya, that he bent it and it reached there, the fire, with an uncommon type of a wind, where it's not something that he should have entertained. And therefore, although yes, he burnt the standing grain, that's not a direct cause, because the fact that the uncommon wind came and brought the fire, that's not something that was directly associated with his action, because no one should have expected that the fire should come. Hence, he's Patur B'din Adam, but again, since he ultimately caused this damage to his friend, he's Chayav B'din Shemayim. Rav Ashi, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Tumen Itmar. The case that we're discussing here is where he covered the standing grain of his friend with cloths, which now, when the fire comes, what happened is that he didn't make a fire, but the thing why he's going to be liable is, Mishum Deshavye Tumen Be'esh. What he did is that he caused an indirect loss to his friend, who is the victim of whoever made the fire, because now the one who made the fire is going to be exempt, because the halacha is, as the Gemara tells us later in Daf Samach Beis, that one is exempt for his mazik of esh, for something that's hidden in something. So what this guy did is he covered that guy's standing grain with cloth, so that he didn't do any damage. He didn't move the standing grain in the place of where fire should be coming. But just by covering it with a cloth, he made now indirectly his friend to have a loss now, because now he can't get his claim from the one who made the fire, because it's tamen, it's something that's hidden, and therefore, patur b'din adam, b'vachayav b'din shemayim. Next case the Braisa mentioned was Amamar, the Tana the Braisa said, Hasechir Eidei Shekir. Someone hires false witnesses regarding a court case. So the Gemara says, Heichadami, what's the case Toma? Ilim l'navshi, if he hired false witnesses for himself as the claimant, which is to collect money from his friend, the defendant, well then, memayna b'yishlumi. Actually, there you have to actually pay up money, meaning the money that he collected, that he won from the court case, he has to give that back, because that was obviously done with false witnesses. Ubedini adam na min chayv. So then even in the hands of courts, he should be liable to pay back. Why are we saying bedini adam is pata? Ella rather explains the Gemara, must be talking about lechavrei, where he hired false witnesses that Reuven should be able to collect from Shimon, and he is Levi, he's a different person. So that is something that he's not getting for himself. And indirectly, by having these other people go ahead and say testimony, he caused one person to get illegally, unfaithfully, immorally to get money from the other person. That's, again, indirect. That's a grama. Grama nizakin is part of b'din adam. But, of course, you're the cause, and therefore, chai b'din yishamayim. Then in the last case of the Braisa was, v'yidei edis l'chavera ve'ena me'edloi. Somebody knows testimony for his friend that could help with his court case, and he doesn't testify. So then, chai b'din yishamayim, but part of b'din adam. What's the case talking about? Elam and Bebetre, if we're talking about where it's two witnesses who know, Astigmar, Pshita. Why do we need the Braisa to tell us? It's obvious that he would be liable Bede Shemayim, because Daraisu, it's a biblical precept. Obviously, that means to say heaven's going to hold you accountable for the mitzvah Daraisa. Because as the Pasuk says in Meyikra, Im lo yagid v'nosavaynoi, if he doesn't testify, then he carries his sin, which as Rashi explains, that Pasuk, although it says in the singular, is talking about two witnesses, from the fact that the Torah was particular about the person's responsibility to say testimony, because it sounds like had he said testimony, that the other person would have been liable to pay the money. That's only with two witnesses, as we know, because one witness does not mandate the liability of monetary payment. And moreover, Rashi says from the Gemara in Seita and Avbeis, wherever the Torah tells us, although in the singular, the word aid, it actually means two witnesses until the Torah tells you aid echad. Like we find in Devarim Yutes, La Yokum Eid Echad Be'ish. So although the word Eid is in the singular, it's the unit that's singular, which are two witnesses. So therefore, as the Gemara, we know that obviously it'd be Chai B'din Yishamayim if it's two witnesses. Ela rather says the Gemara must be talking about Bechad, where it was only one witness who knew testimony for his friend. Where the most he's going to make liable is an oath, still that's the halacha that B'din Yishamayim is going to be Chai. Because had he said testimony, then the defendant would have been liable to make an oath, and maybe he wouldn't have sweared falsely, and then he would have paid. So you are indirectly causing your friend a loss by not saying this testimony, which would have mandated a shvua, and maybe would have held back the defendant from lying. So those are the four halachas, which again are grama, the pata b'din yadam, chayim b'din yishamayim. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa of Sulaka, are there no other halachas that you're chayim b'din yishamayim? But Voyika, there are all the following halachas, which the Gemara brings Siman and the mnemonic for that is the case of Ha'isa, the one who does, Bissam, with poison, Bishleach, and the agent, Chaver, his friend, and Nishbar and broken. Those are the five halachas which we find have the same halacha of Chayav B'din Yishamayim. as the Gemara brings. First one is a braisa that says, "Oisa malocha b'mechatas." If someone does work with the water of the purification ashes of the red heifer, the paraduma, so there's a water that the ashes get mixed with. So if someone does work with that water, for example, let's say he uses it as a weight to weigh other things, as the Gemara Masechtas Gittin of Gimel Amanalf says, which that invalidates it through the work that's done to it. You can't use it anymore for the mechatas. Or let's say he does work ubeparas chatas, with the actual paradum, with the cow of the karban chatas. So patur medini adam, you're exempt from the court liabilities, because as Rashi tells us, it's a hezek shein in nikar loishem hezek. It's an unrecognizable type of a damage. What I mean, this looks like the same thing. What happened to it? Oh, you did work with it, but it's unrecognizable. Therefore, that's an exemption from dini adam, but v'chai b'din ha-shamayim. But you're liable at the hands of heaven, because ultimately now they can't use it anymore, which is a loss for all the work that was put into it. So that's one halacha that you have. You see, has the same halacha. V'ekan, there's another one. We learned in the braisa. If someone puts a lethal poison in front of his friend's animal, puts it there on the ground, and now the animal eats it, he's exempt in the hands of the courts because he didn't do it. I just put it in front. But ultimately, because obviously the animal is going to go ahead and eat it, and you're the cause for that. There's a third one, a Mishnah daf later on, daf Nantesim, a base, that says, if someone sends a fire through the agency of a deaf mute or mentally deranged or a minor, he's exempt from the hands of the courts. But since he gave it over to someone incompetent, he's chayav b'din shemayim. And there's a fourth one. Hamavis es chaver. The Braisa tells us that if someone frightens his friend, if let's say he blows in the guy's ear suddenly, the guy gets all frightened, overwhelmed, well, he didn't do anything with an action to the guy's body, didn't touch him, so therefore it's not a true mazik. Patur b'dini adam, so you can be exempt from dini adam. But again, v'chai b'dini shemayim, because ultimately you were the cause of the guy's damage. And finally, v'ikah, there's a fifth one, which we learned in the braisa, that says, nishbur kadeh b'shush rabim b'loi salkav. So let's say somebody's walking in the street, and he trips, and then his jug falls onto the ground and shatters in the b'shush rabim, and he doesn't pick up the pieces, the shards. Or let's say, nafla gamle b'loi midah, or his camel falls, and he doesn't pick it up. Now here you have these two things just laying there on the street, and then it causes damage to other things or other people. So Remeir Mechayv Bezeket, Remeir holds that the owner is liable for the damages that they cause, which the Gemara on Daf Chav Tesem and Alf already explained that there's actually two different halachas here that are disputed. One is regarding the halach of Nitkal Paisheya, regarding if someone trips, which because he trips, then his jug falls and shatters, is that considered a Paisheya, negligence or not? Another one is regarding Mafka and Nizaka, regarding if once the thing is laying over there, the thing is, and he's mafgrid, what's the halacha regarding that he's mafgrid, regarding being a burr, b'shus a rabbim? So Remeir holds that the owner is going to be liable. But the Chacham disagree. And this is the fifth halacha, that patur b'dini adam, chayav b'dini shamayim. They hold on, b'dini adam, you're exempt. You're not negligent. You're not liable for damaging things that you were mafgrid. But you're going to be chayav b'dini shamayim, because ultimately you're the cause of other people's damage. So therefore, the Gemara asks, why did the Braisa say there's four halachas? Seemingly, there's much more, as we quoted five more. So the Gemara says, in, yes. Mia ikatuba. There are many other halachas that are part of the adam v'chai b'din ishmael. But vahani isruch alei. But these four, the Tana of the Braisa specifically mentioned them, because ma'u detema b'din ishmael minami lo lechai. If you would have thought these four things that are mentioned in the Braisa, that you wouldn't even be liable even at the hands of heaven, Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush of the Tana of the Braisa, that these four things are also chai b'din ishamayim. As the Gemara explains, the first halacha, regarding if someone breaches the wall in front of his friend's animal, thus letting it escape and getting lost, and now the owner loses his animal, ma'u detema, what would you have said? Kivin de lemistere koi, since ultimately, as we explained before in the Braisa, the reason why you're exempt b'dini adam totally, not just on the animal, but even on the wall, is because the wall is a shaky wall and it's going to be demolished anyway. So ma'avid, what did the guy do? Meaning, yes, he's exempt from the wall, but even regarding the guy's animal, b'dini shema minami lo lechai, you shouldn't be liable even at the hands of heaven, because the wall was a shaky, gonna come down anyway. And therefore, it's like it wasn't there in the first place. So though the animal escaped, but that's not my fault, because the wall is like, should have been down anyway. And that's the chiddush, that yes, the wall had to come down. It was going to come down, but not without warning. You just took it down, and then the animal ran away, and causing a loss to the owner. That's the chiddush, that you're going to be chayav b'din shamayim. The other halacha of a kaifiv kaimasa shel chaver nami. There also, we're regarding someone bends the standing grain of his friend in the direction of a fire. Ma'o detemu, what would you have said? Lema, say, mi have yedana de asir ruach she'ena mitzuya? As we explained, that's the case of this halacha where I should have known that an uncommon wind would come along. When I was bending his grain, I should expect that that fire, which no one would think that some crazy wind would come and blow it towards the thing that it should be expected. And therefore, medin neshamami namig lo lechayv, and if in the hands of heaven, I also shouldn't be chayv, because I'm not even a grama, because who should have thought that should happen? That's the chiddush of this halacha, that you're even going to be chayv medin neshamami, because ultimately you are the cause, albeit through a ruach she'en mitzuya. Now, all the Ravashi, even according to Ravashi's interpretation, that he said that the liability was because what you did was that you covered it, and that's causing a loss to that guy because now he can't even collect from the damages of the one who made the fire because that guy's putter on Taman. Ma'aditim, what would you have said? Ano kisui kisisin alech. What? You want me to be liable? I actually did you a favor. I covered your grain with a cloth that the fire shouldn't be able to get to it so quick. You protect it with some type of a blanket. And therefore, b'din neshamami namei lo lechayv, and therefore I shouldn't be liable even at the hands of heaven. Because to the contrary, yes, indirectly I caused you damage because now you can't collect, but I was out to actually help you. I saw a fire coming, I said, let me try to protect it. Now, I ended up actually causing you a loss, but therefore I shouldn't be chayv im b'din neshamayim. That's the chiddush. I know, maybe you were trying to help him, but ultimately you were the indirect cause of his loss, and therefore you chayv b'din neshamayim. And the other case, Vaseicha Ede Shekinami, regarding the third case where someone hires false witnesses, they're also, because Ma'ad Utema, what would you have said? Lema, he could say, what do you mean? Divrei Harav, Divrei Atama, Divrei Mishaimin, when the master says something and the student says something, who do you listen to? In other words, I told them to do an Avera of saying false testimony, but Hashem tells them not to, and therefore they shouldn't have testified, and therefore, even at the hands of heaven, I shouldn't be liable, because I'm not even an indirect cause, because even indirectly, they shouldn't have been listening to me, they should have been listening to Hashem, and therefore, I have no liability. That's the chiddush of the price, so that you're going to be chayv b'din neshamayim, because ultimately, yes, you did tell them, and they did listen to you, and therefore, you're going to be chayv. And the fourth one of the price, there also where someone knows testimony for his friend and doesn't testify. Ma'od etema, what would you have said? Mi yema, who should say that if I'm going to come and say testimony, have a ma'ida? Who said the guy would have admitted? Maybe he would have, not only was he so lying in his defensiveness, that he actually would have even now that I'm a eidach, and he would have been chayv shavu, he would have sweared falsely. And therefore, even at the hands of heaven, I shouldn't be liable because what are you saying? That because I'm indirectly, I caused a loss? Who said? Maybe I would have testified and actually would have made the guy done even a big enough there. He would have sworn falsely. That's the chiddush of the price. That we don't know. And you might have made some type of a saving for that guy's money because that guy wouldn't have sworn falsely. And from the fact that you didn't say the testimony, you indirectly caused this guy a potential loss, and that's why you chayev b'dinei shemayim. That's why the Braisa says these four halachas, to say that, of course we know there are many more like this, but to say that these are also going to be chayev b'dinei shemayim. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which again talks about these halachas of protecting one's animal appropriately that it doesn't go out and damage. So the Mishnah said, Nifritza balayla. If let's say the animal broke through the fence at nighttime, or if bandits went and broke it open, then the owner is going to be exempt. Now actually, Taisus in the Mishnah tells us that although the time of the Mishnah already said this halacha, which is if you did what you had to do, which is no b'fenel karo, that you're going to be pater, so why say that if it's at nighttime or bandits, which obviously means to say that you did all you could, but it's nighttime, you didn't know anything, you're not up and watching, or bandit did it, so therefore you're going to be pater, that's already inherent in the halacha of the Mishnah, that no karo, you're pater, and in a karo, you're going to be chayev. So Taisus says two interpretations. Either it was for the inference, to say that, yeah, it's only balayla when it breaks through that you're pater. But as the Gemara on Daf Yudalam and Aleph says, a similar type of a dig, but during the daytime, you'd be chayv because then the word gets out, and therefore, by default, you probably do know that it breached, and therefore you're going to be chayv. Or Taisus says that the chiddush of nighttime is that even if he knows about it at nighttime, he's in his pajamas, in bed, and he hears that it broke through and the animal goes out, still you're going to be putter. In other words, what it means to say is that you don't have to exert yourself that much to run after it in the darkness to go ahead and find it, that it doesn't cause damage. And if it does cause damage, you're going to be putter. And regarding the halacha of partzul listim, Tosfos said that was also necessary to say, because of course, what, it's, that wasn't me. Why should I be chai? Bandits went and broke it out. Is to tell us that, but even that the bandits are going to be putter, we're in contrast to the next halacha of the Mishnah, which is when they themselves actually take out the animal, then they're going to be chayiv because they took it out. But when they just break open the wall, not only is the owner going to be putter, but also the bandits themselves, because that's an indirect type of a cause. Now, regarding this halacha of the Mishnah, that when the animal breaks through by nighttime, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, this that the Mishnah says, nifritza b'layla is putter, is v'husha chasra. Is if the animal digs its way out of the fence, of where it's fenced in, thus causing the wall to collapse, which that's the situation of an einus, which what could I have done? I had a wall. The animal started digging, got to the core of where the foundation is, thus causing the wall to collapse. That's how it got out. So that, says Rab, is the case of the Mishnah, that the owner is going to be exempt. That asks the Gemara, avaloi chasra, what's the inference what Rab is saying? But if let's say the animal didn't dig, but rather the wall fell by itself, my, what would the halacha be? Chayiv, then the owner would be liable, even though the animal got out during nighttime. Ask the Gemara, hey chadami, what's the case talking about? Ilim b'kais l'bari, if it's talking about a strong wall that he made, so ki lechasa my chayiv, then even if the animal doesn't dig its way out, and let's say the wall just collapsed, my chayiv, why is he liable? My havel lemevet, what should he have done? He made the strongest wall possible, and it's at nighttime, we had no clue what was going on. Ella, because ru'ua. So then says the Gemara, must be talking about a shaky wall. So then, ki chasra mai pata, then even if an animal digs its way out, thus causing the wall to collapse, why would he be exempt? That would be a case of tchilasa bipshia, where initially what the owner had done was a negligence regarding the wall collapsing because he made a wall that would collapse because it's a shaky wall. Now, b'saifai b'anasu, now the end, it was an einus because the only way it ended up actually collapsing was not through itself, was because the animal was digging. So the Gemara tells us, hanich l'man dama, the halacha would make sense according to the opinion that says, t'chilasa b'pshia b'saifai b'anas pater, which this is the machlekes at the end of Perakam Afkin above Metzidah, Membezim and Alv, which are two different versions in the Gemara according to Rav Yosef. What's the halacha when initially what a person had done was a negligence, which usually you're liable for negligence, but the end ended up turning out actually a situation of einus, which he would have not have had control of it anyway. So there is an opinion that says that in such a situation, because ultimately it wasn't einus, so you're going to be pater. So that would make sense for the halacha of our Mishnah, where we said it has to be talking about a shaky wall, which t'chalasa was b'pshia, but since at the end was an einus, because how did it get out? By digging, which that's a situation of einus, so then you're going to be pater. But according to the mandama, the opinion that says that since the beginning was a negligence, even though the end is a einus, you're going to be chayev because originally was a negligence. So my klamema, how are you going to send Allah of our Mishnah? If it's talking about a shaky wall, who cares that the animal dug under, still, never it's about Lila, should be chayev because you're negligent, at least in the beginning, of having put in a shaky wall. So El Rav the Gemara says that masnitin b'kaisel bari. Actually, not like we had assumed that Rabbah was going on this halacha of the Mishnah. Rabbah was not going on this halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's Tomat was a strong wall. And therefore, v'afil lechastri, right, even if the animal did not dig, the animal got out during nighttime, let's say the wall just collapsed, the owner is going to be exempt because he did what he could have done for protecting his animal from damaging. V'chiyit madir Rabbah, when did we learn this halacha of Rabbah? Aseifit, it was on the next halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a different halacha. Hanicha b'chama, if you put his animal in a pen, but he put it in the sun, or he gave it over to watch to a chereshayt of a cotton. The yatsas of a zika, and then the animal goes out and causes damage. Chayiv, that's where the owner is going to be liable. On that, Amar Rabba, that's what Rabba said, vafila chasra. Even if it was a strong wall and the animal dug its way out, still the owner is going to be liable, as the Gemara explains. The halach, the chiddush of Rabbi was saying is that I don't have to tell you where the animal did not dig its way out, the kulubib shiyuhu, where all of what the owner had done is one big act of negligence, because if the animal didn't dig out, how to get out? By bashing its way through. Now, of course, it bashed its way through because it's in the hot sun. So even though you made a strong wall, you're going to be liable for having put it in the sun. Ella, but rather what Rabbi was coming to say was a bigger chiddush. Afila chasra nami, even if the animal went and dug its way down, and that's how the wall collapsed, by digging, Mao de Tema, what would you have said? Havilot Chilasa Bipshia, that it's only the beginning that was a negligence. What was the beginning negligence? Because he only put it in the sun. Now that's a negligence regarding it opening up the door, because that is, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, an animal is going to do whatever it takes to get out of a painful situation, where being in the sun, it's in a lot of pain. But V'seifai ba'aynis, ultimately, how did it get out? Not by trying to break down the wall, but by digging. Now that's something totally uncommon, something that the owner should not have expected. It's an aynis. Now you would think, therefore, so what would come out in that case, if it's just a t'chiles of p'shib b'seif ba'aynis, according to my other hold, that's in such a case pata, you'd actually be pata. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi was teaching us. No, the kula p'shihi. It's entirely an act of negligence, even regarding digging. Well, in my time, what's the reason? Because the Amalei, we tell him, may the Yadata, you surely knew, the Kivin the Shavaska Bahama, since you left it in the sun, called Tatsdaka, the Isla Lamevet Avda Benavka, whatever option or tactic this animal could do, it's going to do to get out. Because it's in the hot sun, it's going crazy. And therefore, even digging in this situation is not an oinus, it's actually a pshia. It should be expected. And therefore, it's not just chalas of pshia b'saivah b'aynis, it's actually one big act of pshia. And therefore, according to everybody, the owner would be liable, even if he had made a kais labari, a strong wall, because the animal was in the sun. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. Hitziu listim. Let's say bandits take out the animal, so then listim chayavin, so then the bandits are liable for the damages the animal that they took out now will have caused. So the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, and asks, well, pshita, pretty obvious. Kivandav kua, since they took the animal out of the pen, so what they did is, they did what's called meshicha, they drew the animal, and they did what's called a shina rishus. It changed domains from the owner's domain to the robber's domains, which that is acquiring the animal for all halachic purposes. So kaima la birshu sayu l'chol mili. So the animal is in their domain for all halachic relevance. So of course it's their animal, and of course they're going to be liable for the damage that it does. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says lo tzricha. No. The case toma de kamula ba'apa. They didn't do mishicha. They didn't draw the animal. They just stood in front of it in every direction that it can't go anywhere but to the standing grain of that neighbor to go ahead and eat it, because that was the only place it could have gone. Ki hada amar rabba amar ramasna amar rav. Regarding that, Rav had said a simul halacha. Hamaymid behemis chaveri al kamas chaveri. If someone goes and takes his friend's animal and puts it on another friend's standing grain, and then it eats up that neighbor's grain, chayv, the one who takes the animal and puts it down the friend's grain, is going to be liable. Now the question that was asked was, maimid? It sounds like as if he took the animal by the hand and took it to the friend's grain. Well, that's pshit, that's obvious. Of course he's going to be liable. He literally went and took the animal. So on that, the answer was, lo yitzricha dekom la ba'apa. The liability that Rav was saying, and we're saying that that's the same halacha in our Mishnah, is that they didn't take it by the hand. They just stood in any direction, not letting, as if a human wall, not letting it go anywhere but to that person's grain. That is not just indirect. That's literally causing it to go. But it wasn't by hand. And that's the chiddush in the case of Amaymid Behemes Chaber, Kamas Chaber. And that's also the chiddush in the halacha of our Mishnah, that the Gazlanim didn't literally take it, because that would be obvious. Rather, they stood in the way. But because they were the direct cause of the animal going to eat that person's grain, they're going to be liable for that damages. Now, Amalei Abayi, Rav Yosef, however, Abayi said to Rav Yosef that a different interpretation. He said, Hikisha, where the person went and hit with a stick. Amrit Lon, you, Rav Yosef, said to us regarding that halacha of Rav, of the case of when someone is maimed, takes the friend's animal on top of the other person's grain, that's the reason why the person is going to be liable over there, because he didn't take it by hand, because that's obvious. And neither did you say the interpretation of just standing in the way. You told us that the reason why he's liable is because he hit the animal to go that direction. That's what makes him liable. And balistam namidikishu, and that's also that same halacha regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the bandits, where what they did to the animal that they breached the wall for is that they hit it with a stick. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that hitting with a stick is another form of meshicha, of drawing, because yes, if you literally did meshicha, that's obvious. But it's talking about that you didn't draw the animal, just hit it and made it go. That is another variant of meshicha, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that's why they're going to be in the place of the owner for the liabilities that the animal that they let out causes damage for. Now the Mishnah continued, it said, Masara l'raya, if let's say he gives it over to the shepherd, so nechnes araya v'chulis, then the shepherd takes his place for the liabilities to watch the animal, and for cause of damage, the shepherd's going to be liable. Now, the Gemara says, Amri, they asked, Tacht of the man, in place of who? Who is the shepherd taking the place of the liabilities or the damages? And that is, Ile metacht of the Baal Behema, if it would be, as would be simply one would think, in place of the owner of the animal, I mean, the owner of the animal gave it over to a shepherd, so we're saying now he's not responsible anymore, the shepherd's responsible. And that the Gemara asked, Tanina Chadazimna, but really learned this once, the same halacha previously, on the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalem Abayis. The Mishnah says, Misari l'shay mechinim, u'l'shayil, l'naysi sachar, u'l'saychir, if someone gives over his animal to one of the four shamrim, the watchman, either one that watches for free, or to someone that borrows, or to someone that is getting paid to watch, or someone that's renting, said the Mishnah, Kula nechnasu tachas habayilim. They all take the place of the owner for the responsibility to watch the animal. So why would our Mishnah repeat that halacha? Ella rather says, the Gemara tacht of the shomer. It means to say, in place of the watchman. And this is what our Mishnah is saying. If, let's say, the owner gave it over to a shomer, and then the shomer gives it over to a shepherd, the shepherd takes the place of the shomer. And then, if something happens, the owner goes and deals with the second shomer, meaning the shepherd, the responsibility was with him, and he doesn't have anything to litigate with the first shomer. Now, that the Gemara asks, v'shomer kama iftele legamri, so what are you saying, that the first watchman who gave it over to the shepherd is totally exempt? Le metavetu to the Rava, says the Gemara, that should be a refutation of Rava. Because the Amar Rava says, shomer shemasle shomer chayiv, a watchman who gives over the responsibilities to another watchman is liable even for einsin, for things that are usually that he's exempt for, because the one who gave him the deposit to watch could say, you were trustworthy to me, and that's why I gave it to you to watch, that if you're going to swear to me, I believe you. But I don't believe that guy that you gave it over to me when he's going to swear something happened that was an einus that he should be exempt. And therefore, you are going to be chayiv in all situations because you had no rights to give it over to another person. So seemingly the halacha of our Mishnah then refutes Rava, because it's saying that the shomer that gives over to the raya, to the next shomer, is exempt. So Amlecha Rav, Rav would tell you that no, my masr l'raya, what does it mean over here in our Mishnah, whereas we explained it's a shomer giving over to another person, to a shepherd, it means lebarzilei, to the shomer's own student. The urchei d'raya lemimsur lebarzilei, where it's normal for a shepherd to give it over to a student, that's why it's no problem of shomer shemasr l'shomer. Meaning if a guy entrusts a certain shepherd, which is a shomer, with his animal, he says, I don't trust you to give it over to anyone else. But from your company, your own students, that's expected, where the guy's not going to watch all of them himself. He has people that he delegates for his own company to watch. That's the case we're talking about, that he gave it over to someone else. Now his student takes responsibility and not him. But that's not a problem or violation of Rav's halacha of Shemesh Shemas Shemesh Shemesh. That's one version. Ikadami, that those say a different version, that they're actually coming from the other direction. That midiktani mesara l'raya, from the fact that the halacha of our Mishnah says that the shomer gives it over to a shepherd, v'loiketani mesara l'achan, it doesn't say that the shomer gives it over to someone else. Shmamina, my mesara l'raya, so we can infer, what does it mean they gave it over to a shepherd? Masaraya l'barzil, it means to say that the shepherd gave it over to his own student, the urche d'raya l'mimsar l'barzil, where it's normal for a shepherd to give it over to his student. But the inference would be, but to somebody else, some foreigner, so that the guy doesn't expect the owner, then there wouldn't be an exemption. Let's say that supports Rav. Because the Amar Rav, Rav said, that a shomer that gives over to a random, some other shomer, is going to be liable. Similarly, that's halacha of our Mishnah that specifies raya, to say some guy who is expected, but not someone unexpected. On that Amri, they said, Dilma Urcha de Milsa Katani, maybe the Mishnah just said something that's common, which is, as we said, it's common for someone to give it over to a student, but v'hu adin la'achar. But maybe the halacha would still apply, even if it was somebody else, and maybe Shemesh Shemesh L'Shemesh would be pater. It just says a case, which is normal, therefore there's no raya to Rava. Now the Gemara continues on these halachas of Shemer that we're discussing. Specifically, Itma, we learned regarding Shemer Aveda. If somebody is safeguarding a lost object, which is, let's say somebody finds a lost object, and he brings it into his house, where actually, as the Pasuk says, Dvar Mechav Beis, Vasafto Yel Tech Beisech, you have to bring it into your house, meaning somebody lost something, you don't know whose it is, so you bring it into your house, and then you watch it until you find out whose it is, then you can return it to him. Now, regarding such a person, Rabba Amar Kashe Mechinim Dami. Rabba says that the liabilities that he has, a responsibility, like a shomer, he's safeguarding this guy's thing, he doesn't know who the owner is, it was a lost object, he has that halacha like someone that's watching free. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Kesher Mesach Adami, Rabbi Yosef says, no, he has a halacha like a Kesher Mesach, who is getting paid to watch. which the very practical application of that nafkimina of the halachic difference is regarding when they get stolen from that guy or lost, shemichinim is pater, shemesachar is going to be chayiv. So the Gemara explains the reason for their machlekes. Rabba amar kashrei mechinim dami, says like he's someone that's watching for free, because mayanakamatile, what type of benefit does he get from watching this guy's things? He gets nothing. Just doing it lishma, and therefore, a pshia, negligence, will be chayiv. But geneva aved is going to be exempt. Rabbi Yosef amar kashrei mesachar dami. Rabbi says, no, he has halacha like someone that's getting paid to watch. Why? Because bahi hana, from that benefit, that it doesn't have to give bread to a poor person. Why? Because as the Gemara Masech the Sukkot of Chafei Manav learns out in the Pasuk of Velechtecha Vaderech that Ha'esik b'mitzvah is pater min ha-mitzvah. If you're busy involved with one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. So here you're busy watching, because you don't want to be negligent, yet you're responsible, but this guy's lost object. You're busy involved with a mitzvah, therefore when a poor person comes knocking on the door for a piece of bread, you're exempt and you don't have to give him. So there's a benefit over here that you're going to save. You don't have to give your time, your money to that poor person. So that's a benefit because of the fact that you're watching this guy's lost object. So because it's a mitzvah, as the pasuk says, "Vasav tel tech beisecha, sahavik shem esacha." That makes him like someone who's watching for pay. There's a certain benefit. That's pay, and therefore there's a liability for gneiva v'aveda according to Rabbi Yosef. Now, igadim mafarshi hachi, that those explained it differently. That Rav Yisuf amik shem esacha dami, that why does Rav Yisuf say that the shemer aveda is like a shemer esacha, as if he's getting paid, meaning that higher level standard of liability of a shemer esacha to be having gneiva aveda is kivin derachman de shabdi bal karchi, since the Torah mandates and requires him against his will. The Torah says there's a mitzvah you have to do this to watch this guy's aveda. Therefore, obviously, there's more of a responsibility and a liability over here, higher than just a guy who's watching for free somebody's thing, where he has the volition, where it's something that's at his discretion if he wants to watch it. So you don't have to. So good, it's out of the kindness of your heart. So the liability is very low. But here we see it's not. You didn't have a choice. You have to do this. So you see that there's a greater level of responsibility. And therefore, we see that the Torah is going to put you at a higher level, a higher standard. That's why Avisa says it's going to be, although you're watching, you're not getting any benefit, you're watching for free, but the higher standard requires him to be like the type of a shomer that the Torah is expecting, more responsibility, like a shomer sachar, which is, again, that there's a responsibility, not just of a pshia, but even for gneiva and aveda.